Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said when your religion gets into past tense, it becomes pretense. Once again, we want you to know how much we appreciate your listening to Bible Meditations. Let's return to our study now, and we were looking at the fact that the Bible is a book of warnings. There are things that are stated that God wants us to pay attention to, so that instead of going headlong into things that we ought not to be into, we'll be warned ahead of time and be able to avoid some of the problems that come our way. We appreciate warnings along the highway that tell us about road conditions ahead of us. But if we don't pay any attention to those warnings, they do us no good. Now, wouldn't that be true with the Word of God? If there are warnings, words like take heed, beware, in the Bible, and we don't listen to them, then we're just asking for trouble, and as a result of it, we do not profit from the warnings that are there. In the Roman letter, chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul talking about things that had been written previously, things that occurred under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, he made this observation: whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Why do you suppose we have accounts in the Old Testament, as well as in the New, of how God dealt with mankind? The very reason is because we can see the need of listening to and following what is the best way of conduct. If a warning is given, then we need to listen to it so that we avoid the problems that might come our way. Now, certainly, the Bible is filled with warnings. We noted one in the teaching of our Master in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Know then the fact that these people who come your direction may appear to be harmless and innocent, and yet at the same time they are ravening wolves." That is, their desire is to consume and to destroy. Well, there's a warning, and we ought to listen to the warnings that are there. Let's, in our study, just go back to the Bible and look at some warnings that are clearly given in regard to people's conduct and see if we're listening to the warnings that are there. The first one I'd like to call to your mind can be read about in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. You remember man has been created by God, and God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Thus he created an helpmeet. He created woman to be a companion to man, and together they could serve their God. Well, it wasn't long after they were placed in the garden. They were given control over the garden and told that they could eat of all the fruit of the garden with the exception of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's a warning, isn't it? You're going to die if you eat of this fruit. Well, you remember Satan, as is customary, came on the scene, and Satan said, "Oh, that isn't true. You'll not surely die. You're not going to die, so go ahead and do what God forbid that you do. Do not refrain from doing what you would like to do." Well, of course, woman looked at the fruit and saw that it was good, saw that she was hungry, and so as a result of all of this, she ate of that fruit God said she was not to eat of. Then she gave it unto her husband, and he did eat. He likewise did the very same thing that she did, based on a lie told by Satan. Now, the truth is, God does not approve of transgression. The word transgression means to go across boundaries. God has set rules, and he wants men to remain within the boundaries, within the rules. But, of course, man in the very beginning decided he didn't need to do that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed on all men, for all have sinned. So by the transgression of Adam, we did the wrong thing, but we inherit the consequence of the sin of Adam. Now, lest somebody misunderstand, let me hasten to remind you that the verse does not say we inherit the guilt of Adam's sin. Some have misunderstood, and they've come up with a theory, a terrible theory, that every baby born into the world is born guilty of sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. That comes from the doctrines of men and is totally without biblical support. Does the Bible teach a little baby is a sinner? Obviously not. A little baby commits sin when he's old enough to understand and to do the wrong thing. Well, a little baby at birth is not guilty of anything. There are no laws given to babies. Laws are given to adults who can understand and know the difference in right and wrong. Therefore, the sin of Adam did not pass on. Did the consequence? The answer is yes. Because we all sin, we all will die as well. That is, the consequence is death. Not that we became guilty of Adam's sin, or because Adam sinned, but we suffer the consequence of Adam's sin, and that is death. We might illustrate it this way. A person gets drunk, and they do some action that is very dangerous and eventually results in the death of another person, perhaps drive an automobile, or they do something that will bring about hurt and destruction and damage to another person. Now, my question is this. Did the person that they damaged suffer the consequence of their conduct? Yes. Did they suffer the guilt of it? No. They weren't guilty of being drunk. That was simply a matter of a person's own choice. But they suffered the consequence of it. Adam sinned because he did the wrong thing. You and I suffer the consequence of Adam's sin, and that is death. We're not guilty of his sin. Sin is a personal matter, and we become guilty of it when we ourselves do the wrong thing. The Bible teaches very plainly then, when we're drawn away of our own lusts and enticed, that's when we become guilty of sin. Well, does the Bible warn about transgression? Yes, we'll say some more about it tomorrow. Please be with us and remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.